Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 36 on Through the Word, and today we finish the book. The road trip is done, and it's time to take a look back at the lessons learned along the journey. But first, chapter 36. Zelophehad's daughters are back. Who are Zelophehad's daughters, you say? This one is a follow-up story. Back in Numbers 27, God closed up a loophole in the law by giving these girls an inheritance in the land. But sometimes closing one loophole just creates another. So it's more legal issues today. A few provisos, a couple of quid pro quo. Some men from Manasseh explained the issue to Moses in verse 2. They said, "When the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land as an inheritance to the Israelites by lot, he ordered you to give the inheritance of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters." That was God's first decision, provide for the girls and give the dad an inheritance. Now for the new loophole, verse 3. "Now suppose they marry men from other Israelite tribes. Then their inheritance will be taken from our ancestral inheritance and added to that of the tribe they marry into." So here's the issue. Five girls will be given land. But when they marry, the land is owned together as a family. And since families were reckoned by the tribe of the father, the land could suddenly belong to another tribe. That's a big deal. The land was an inheritance. It was promised by God to stay within the tribes. So what does Moses do? What he always did. He takes the matter to God. It seems obvious, right? But wow, is that a good lesson. So what does God say? Verse 6. "This is what the Lord commands for Zelophehad's daughters. They may marry anyone they please as long as they marry within their father's tribal clan." So, problem solved. Marry inside the tribe and the inheritance is not lost. But wait a second. You can't tell someone who to marry. Well, God can and God does. Well, technically, he doesn't tell them who to marry. He just gives limits. Notice the words. They may marry anyone they please, as long as it's within the tribe to keep the land. He didn't force a husband on them. They got to choose, within limits. For you and I, 2 Corinthians says, don't marry an unbeliever. It's an unequal yoke. Two oxen in one yoke going two different directions will hurt each other badly. Like Zelophehad's daughters, you've got to marry within the tribe. Within the family of God, or you'll lose ground. There's an inheritance at stake, God's inheritance for your family. Well, Zelophehad's daughters agreed and trusted God for the right husbands. And the book of Numbers ends in its final words with the Israelites by the Jordan across from Jericho. In other words, ready to enter. But while we're here, let's take a look back at our trip through Numbers for some of the key lessons along the journey, the greatest hits, you might say. And perhaps we'll find a fresh revelation. After their escape from Egypt, but before the new frontiers of the Promised Land, God brought his people out into the hot desert for testing, a little trial by fire. Numbers is the training ground for one sport, following God. Following God, lesson number one, order. Counting, arranging, our God is an ordered and organized God, and all of creation testifies. God has an order, a plan. If you follow him, you can't just do things any way you want it. God's order is essential. Following God, lesson number two, follow. This may seem redundant, but Jesus said, if anyone would come after him, you must follow him. Following is a direction, a journey, not just a belief. The Israelites followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Every departure was at the leading of the Lord, and every arrival too. Following God, lesson number three, trust. Trust is essential, so don't stop believing in his leading, even when the walk gets dry or challenging. When the first generation got a sneak peek into the land in chapter 13, a look into the future to see what's next, they got scared. They looked at the giants, looked at themselves, but forgot to look to God. So they were sent back. The older generations would die in the desert. Only the young would enter. The young, plus two more, Joshua and Caleb, with wholehearted trust, they were the two who followed God faithfully. Now, some of the core lessons of Numbers are laid out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 10:6 says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. That's following God lesson number 4. Don't set your heart on evil things. Wait a second. What does setting your heart have to do with following God? Everything. Your life will naturally follow your heart. So the trick is setting your heart in the direction you want to go. Jesus said, "Store up your treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Colossians says, "Set your heart on things above, where Christ is." That way, your heart naturally leads you towards Jesus. So what about the Israelites in the desert? 1 Corinthians uses them as the ultimate anti-example. This is exactly what not to do. Corinthians lists 4 don'ts from the desert, and each don't helps us keep our hearts set right. Don't number 1, do not be idolaters. That means don't let anything take God's place. The Israelites, through a pagan party, worshipped the counterfeit gods, and their hearts wandered. We are called to holiness. That means hearts set fully on one God, and you and the world go separate ways. Don't number 2, do not commit sexual immorality. When the Midianite women seduced Israel's men, thousands died. Do not underestimate the mortal danger of lust and adultery. Save the loving, touching, and squeezing for marriage and marriage alone. Set your heart on your spouse, and do not let it wander. Don't number 3, do not test the Lord. This is a reference to the snake story. The Israelites grew impatient with the journey, and they complained. Words turn hearts, against leaders and against the Lord. God sent deadly snakes among them, but he also provided an escape, the bronze snake, the picture of the cross. This is the part that amazes me. Again and again, the Israelites turned away, and he kept taking them back with open arms. And then don't number 4, do not grumble. This was all over the desert. But when the people grumbled, the Lord was listening. They grumbled about food, about water, about leaders, about everything. They grumbled because they set their hearts on the past, on unrealistic memories of how great things were back in Egypt. They wanted meat, so God gave them meat, quail till it came out their nostrils. Who's crying now? And there's one more don't, this one in Hebrews 3. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Again, it's a matter of the heart. Do not harden your heart. It was a sinful, unbelieving heart that turned them away from God, and God responded. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That last word is the key. Hebrews brings this whole story back to one thing, entering God's rest. Entering his rest means stop working for salvation, stop trying to earn points with God, and rest in his grace. Stop judging yourself and others. Get your eyes off you and fixed on Jesus, and trust him to lead you in. The unbelieving heart simply cannot rest. So, how's your heart? Is it trusting or unbelieving? Is it faithful or is it going astray? Guard your heart. It will lead you in or keep you out. Jesus, who called his disciples with 2 simple words, "Follow me," also called out, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hey friends, I want to say thanks for following the Lord with me on the road trip through Numbers. This has been an awesome journey for me, and I want to send out a heartfelt thank you to a few of you who sponsored the audio guides. Truly, you made this possible, and many thousands have been blessed. If any listeners would like to sponsor chapters in our next books, please go to throughtheword.org/donate. Also, as a bonus for finishing Numbers with me, we have a contest for today's study only, and we're giving away a Through the Word t-shirt and car decal. Just go to facebook.com/throughtheword and look for the Greatest Hits contest on August 21st. The contest starts now.